I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've spent a lot of today reacting emotionally to where the Browns are as Deshaun Watson has torn his Achilles. There's a lot of debate or a lot of speculation potentially about which type of Achilles surgery he's going to have. So obviously each one comes with its own pack of kind of details to follow there. But for now, what matters is that the Browns won't have Deshaun for the rest of this season. That then calls into question his future in Cleveland. And to talk about the latest Browns loss, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on Browns analyst Nathan Zagura today. Nathan, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. We gotta hopefully get some of these after a victory. It'll be, I think, more fun for everybody.
I think, I will say, not to completely crib notes from Bull Durham, but I definitely love winning more than I do losing. I don't know if that's a hot take or not.
Do you love winning more than you hate losing?
Oh, man, I don't know, because I really hate losing, Nathan.
Yeah, it's not even a question for me. I hate losing infinitely more than I like winning.
Although the only
winning should be at some point the expectation, right? So then it should be like, that's what I'm here to do, is to win. And then losing would be the mama mentality. Can't stomach it.
That's why people always call me the other Mamba, they call me. Kobe was, you know, the Black Mamba, but I'm the other Mamba is what they would call me.
Yes.
But which I never found derogatory because he was really good at basketball.
Quite.
Nathan, let's start here. Does Deshaun's injury in the latest loss, does that change the aims for the rest of the season?
I think that when you are looking at this season, once you traded Amari last week, that was a signal at some level, right, that you were already having the mindset of having 1 foot in to the 2024 season and 1 foot into 2025 and beyond. So I think that you already had acknowledged with that trade that. I think that it continues now, and obviously is you're down that path. You're at 1-6. Deshaun is lost for the season. Now I think it's all about finding out what can we get to stockpile in terms of assets? Who's going to be the core that we absolutely want to go forward with? Everybody else will take whatever assets we can get for them. And, you know, I think part of it is also figuring out who is the quarterback of the future and even, you know, 2025, the beginning of 2025, what that looks like. Deshaun's going to have a very long and arduous rehab ahead of him. It's an injury that, you know, puts into question, you know, whether or not he will play again. You just don't know how that kind of an injury can affect a quarterback. We've seen, you know, Aaron Rodgers come back and Kirk Cousins come back. And quite frankly, you know, in the early going, they have not quite looked the same as they did pre-injury. And so I think that's going to be what it's about. I think, you know, in the very near term, obviously it means either Jameis or DTR are starting. You know, I kind of talked about it on Browns Daily today. I would be all for, you know, Jameis starting the next two at home. And then taking the bye week, giving DTR 2 weeks and an 8 week kind of audition to say, can I be, you know, the Brock Purdy who, you know, helped the 49ers overcome a trade that put them in a tough spot due to, you know, Trey Lance not working out? Can DTR be that? And he really, to me, I feel like he's the only in-house option that has a chance to be a longer term solution. And you can make games and see if he can show that.
Nathan, did when the injury happened, because I felt this way, so I'll editorialize it from that standpoint. My initial thought was, man, it feels like the last time we're going to see Deshaun as the starter, and maybe the last time we're going to see him in a uni as the guy for this team. I know the contract is there, but is that how it felt as you were watching that unfold, given the previous, 3 years in the way things have fallen down?
My mind didn't go there. You know, as I said, though, knowing the nature of the injury, yeah, you wonder if that's the way that it will go. At the time, it was just you saw the replay, you saw kind of that calf explosion. You knew exactly what it was, non-contact. And it's a tough scene, regardless of how people feel about Deshaun. You know, I think you saw the respect of his teammates and coaches who were all there around him on the field. It's anybody who works hard at something and has come back from something, just like we saw Nick Chubb make a triumphant return yesterday, and that was awesome to see. You know how, and you read it kind of in the players' room, just what an arduous process that is. So you never want anybody to have to go through something like that. But I really didn't contemplate kind of the long-term ramifications of it, just that, you know, I think, you know, you've seen him now for basically what amounts to over a little bit over a full season. It has not, unfortunately, looked the way, other than brief glimpses over three separate seasons, of how you wanted it to. It's the second season that ends early with a significant injury. And so you wonder, is he somebody that you could even count on for a full season at this point? And then what's he going to be when he comes back? Because typically that's not an injury that allows you to come back maybe even at the same level as you were. It diminishes your skills somewhat, your ability to move. And he relies certainly on movement more than Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins, two of the quarterbacks I referenced earlier with Achilles injuries. So I think it's a long road. I think it's something that will be dealt with in the future. But I think right now, if you're the Cleveland Browns, your priority is finding that quarterback. And then internally, can DTR be that guy on that rookie contract for you? And if not, you know, can he show that he's a good backup for you, and you then go into the draft and try to find somebody next year that can be more of a long-term solution? I think you have to at least consider those possibilities and look at it that way.
Nathan, are the Browns as they were 3 years ago? Are the Browns still a quarterback away?
I don't think that's the case right now. The Browns have had a lot of struggles, and I think a lot of people wanted to blame them solely on Deshaun Watson, and I don't think that's the case. Now, we're getting to see, you know, Nick Chubb comes back, gets in the end zone. That's great. I thought the defense, you know, for the second week in a row against pretty good talent, played very well. I mean, they held the Bengals to 2 of 13 on third downs in this game. They were spectacular in that regard. They didn't allow a third down conversion until in the third quarter. In fact, they didn't allow a point defensively until into the third quarter. But I do think that, you know, there are a lot of things that have gone. The offensive line continues to be a problem, and the pre-snap penalties continue to be a problem. I think there are still things that are beyond the quarterback, but a truly great quarterback lifts everything around them, right? And so if you have that guy, does that help everything? Of course, it most certainly does. So I think when you're probably a quarterback away from being, you know, what we thought we might be this year. But I think that, again, the problems extend well beyond the quarterback in terms of the reasons why this Browns team sits where it is, which is, honestly, if this wouldn't even have been on one of a billion scenarios that I could have come up with when I got to the Greenbrier and we began the preparations for this season. It's really a stunning, stunning turn of events.
I think stunning is the perfect way to describe just how bleak it got, how quickly it got, but there is football to be played. Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm glad you called out. I'm glad Nick Chubb getting that touchdown. And I know the numbers, big picture, you know, what is it, 11 carries, 22 yards. He did have the touchdown, but I actually made sure to turn over and make sure I was listening to you guys as that was setting up, because I wanted to hear your call of Nick getting that touchdown. And I'm just curious, as a guy who's watched this team as acutely as you have and watched this, walk me through your emotions as you see Nick Chubb score that touchdown in his return game from that very serious injury.
Oh, man, it was, his whole return was powerful. And it's unfortunate that, you know, things are the way they are, so that's not the top story today. It's not even just, you know, Nick Chubb and his return and getting in the end zone and a Browns win, all of those things. He, you know, worked so hard to get back. He embodies everything that you, I think, want out of a football player. He is so important to this city. I got a chance to talk with him prior to the game, and, you know, just the emotion that he had for a guy who's not very talkative, doesn't really wear his emotions on his sleeve. You knew how special and meaningful this was to him. And I think it was awesome. You know, he gets in there, 53rd career touchdown, 49th career rushing touchdown, I believe it was. Just awesome. Awesome to be a part of it. And unfortunately, has been the way with the Browns near the goal line is, you know, you thought he scored, and then an offensive line penalty inside the five for the third straight week backed you up 5 yards. Now, it was great that they were able to overcome it, and he was able to get in there on fourth down. But yeah, that was a big one. I'm sure if they release the call of that, there'll be some fist pumping in the booth there. But because it meant more than just a touchdown. Also, at the time, you thought, oh man, we're back in this thing. We're going to tie it up. Unfortunately, D-Hop, you know, missed the extra point. But Yeah, that was emotional and powerful, and it's great to see Nick Chubb. I hope in the future we're able to get him a little more room to run the football.
Now back the other way. Do we have any working theories on what's going on on D-Hop? Because there have been a fair more amount of oopsies this year than there were last year.
Yeah, he's missed three field goals. That's his first miss inside of 50 yards, you know, on the season. It's a little bit surprising, but you know what? I give him a ton of credit because D-Hop comes right out and he addressed the media and he owns it. And you know, says, you know, I've got to be better, and you know, missed the extra points, his second missed extra point, and I think this was a big one emotionally, as was, you know, the one in Las Vegas coming off the Rodney McLeod scoop and score. Those things matter, and they matter for a little bit, you know, in terms of momentum and just your belief, all of that stuff. So it's nobody's perfect in that business, and I think we were very spoiled last year with how good he was. I still think he's been a very good kicker and made a great deal of his kicks this year, especially from distance. You know, it happens. Even somebody who's 90% inside of 50 yards, that means you miss one out of every 10. And so I think that's kind of just, unfortunately, bad timing there with D-Hop. But I have a lot of belief in his ability, and I know he's a guy who's going to work very hard to make sure that he gets that right.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nathan with the defense, that was, you know, you take away the punt return, they're not accountable for that. You saw the defense getting after the quarterback more. They were a little bit more, they just looked a hell of a lot better. I'm just curious, like, can they continue to ascend the way that they felt like they sent yesterday, or continue to ascend yesterday, even if maybe you're still trying to figure out the pieces around them and what next year looks like?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at the last 2 weeks of the defense. They went to Philadelphia, held, I think, a team with a lot of talent on it to 20 points. They completely shut down Saquon Barkley, which nobody else has done in the league so far this year. I mean, he goes off that game and ends up with over 170 yards rushing this week. I thought that, like I said, the third down performance this week was very good. Denzel's playing at a very high level. You know, by Joe Burrow standards this year, you did a pretty good job against him. I mean, Joe Burrow in this one ended up with, what, 181 yards gross passing, 164 net passing. That's one of the lowest outputs of the season for him. So I thought I was very pleased with the defense. I think they gave every chance to this offense, which unfortunately has been the real problem this year. And in fact, Bengals only possessed the ball for 25 minutes in this game. It just, the Browns have not been able to put enough points on the scoreboard. And that's it. I mean, if offense was playing, averaging, you know, 24 a game, we have a completely different record here. So while the defense has not been the number one defense, I think it's almost impossible. That's one of those things that year to year is very difficult to maintain. And the NFL is not a league anymore where you really are able to win solely on the back of a defense week in and week out. It's, the rules are slanted against it. There's so many things that are slanted against it and for the offense to win. And the Browns offense, unfortunately, has not done that at a high enough level. But I think the Browns defense has been pretty good, especially the last couple of weeks.
Nathan, appreciate you, buddy. Again, I was just happy for you guys to be able to get that Nick Chubb call, and happy for Nick Chubb. It was a really, really good moment out of some less than fun things yesterday. So it was great to hear, bud.
Yeah, appreciate that. And, you know, another chance this week. Obviously, tough matchup with the Ravens coming to town. But, you know, hopefully this team can find a way to start getting it going.
And we're on to Baltimore. See you next week, buddy. Nathan Zagura there, Browns analyst in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.